Welcome to The Shared Desk, episode 65! Can our podcast officially collect Social Security now?
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. What a time to be alive. Yeah, everybody, it's The Shared Desk. I'm your host, T. Morris.
David, what is the name we give to the meat we get from pigs?
Pork.
Good, good. Well, that's 2 marks to you.
And sitting across from me?
Pip Valentine.
Marcia, what is the name of the metal alloy we get from zinc and copper?
Brass?
No, I'm afraid not. The answer's pork.
And we got some special guests in the studio, so special guests, go on ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hello, this is Piper J. Drake, also
known. Who wrote The Tale of Two Cities? Good, that's 2 marks to you. And so, on to Stig's question.
And over here, not Stig, but...
Matthew J. Drake.
What was the date of Captain Cook's discovery of Australia?
Pork.
Good, 2 marks. And the last question of this round to you, Lust.
We don't have Lust in the studio.
No, we do not have Lust. Well, we got plenty of Lust in the studio. Look at you sitting across from us. Pork? Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's not about the pork. It's about the bacon.
All right, but we got, what is it, an 11-pound shoulder waiting on
us?
That's right, we got an 11-pound shoulder.
It is kind of about the pork today.
I was saying this was part of the best of times. We've had quite a time leading up to the time of recording this, which is Labor Day. I'm going to try to figure out how many times I can say time in the first few minutes.
Is that labor with a U or labor with just an O?
I will figure it out. Anyway... Yeah, you guys are in town. It's
Yay.
So nice to have you guys
Hello.
Back. We have given you endless crap on this show for not being around.
Yes.
And what do? We show up a day later than we said we
would.
Yeah. My bad.
I think that was punishment for us. Punishment.
The good news is that you're here. We've been having a great time with you guys. We took you guys to Merlarky, which we talked about on the show before. Merlarky
there were
the Spirits.
Booze.
Over
booze.
At I believe it is just merlarky.com. But the it'll be in the show. It's
Merlarky Distillery LLC.
Well, there you
yes.
go. And what were your thoughts real quick on Merlarky?
I thought it was a lovely experience doing the tasting because not only were the booze tasty, because booze can be tasty, the pops.
Wasn't Pops
Poppy.
Amazing?
Was it Poppy? Poppy. So
no,
so,
Pops. He called himself Poppy, but
yeah,
everybody
was calling him
Pops.
Yeah, depending on who was talking to him.
Yeah, depending on who was talking to him, he was Poppy or Pops. Either way, he sat down, or no, he stood, and he gave us refill upon refill upon refill of our tasting.
Yeah.
So what started out as a reasonable shot ended up with me toasted, like completely toasted.
Oh my goodness. And I hear he had a Boston accent. Was he Irish Boston?
An Irish Boston.
It was perfect, yeah, and there was Dropkick Murphys playing occasionally in the background, so that just kind of went along with the whole thing. Theme wonderfully.
I guess we know where we're going for St. Patrick's Day next.
And the funniest bit still was that it was a really eclectic crowd because they were there for the Corn.
Yeah.
Disturbed.
And the
no,
Rob
no,
Zombie.
No, Rob Zombie. It was Corn and Rob Zombie playing down at Jiffy Jube Live.
I still like some of Corn's old songs. So hey.
Yeah, I know, but it's just great. You know, yeah, I'm gonna get ready to go to a Corn and Rob Zombie concert by going to this Irish distillery.
Distillery and have a whiskey tequila tasting thing. Like, what was that? It was a whiskey margarita?
There was vodka.
No, right. But the whiskey margarita is the thing that blew my mind.
Yeah, the whiskey margarita.
And it's like, yeah, why are you doing this? I like it,
but why? It was a white whiskey with lemon that you could either make into a lemon drop or you could add sour mix and add... Like,
that was the clemency that they were doing
that
with.
Yeah. So it was like a white whiskey with lemon so that they purported to say it's very much like limoncello.
And the Kellys are with us, and I was really impressed. They bought one bottle each except for the sincerity.
They did not care for the sincerity.
The heavy cinnamon taste.
Yeah. That was the heavy cinnamon one. But it's good Fireball. I mean, it's not something you would give to somebody because you didn't like them. You drank this. you would give this to somebody because they're your friend.
Well, right. But if you didn't know and you were just drinking that, you would assume like, what did I do wrong? Like, I did a party foul?
Like, what is this? No, I think the interesting thing about each of those liquors, and it was a vodka, it was a white whiskey, mm-hmm. which was totally
clear.
Clear
whiskey, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was the white whiskey with lemon.
That was clemency.
And then there was the whiskey fireball.
Sincerity.
Mm-hmm. And then there was...
Oh, imagination.
The imagination. Imagination.
That's the gin, right?
That's the gin.
And then...
And the gin had like these light lavender floral notes. And I was like, what is up with lavender after watching like the Great British Bake Off?
Yeah, because their gin does not taste very junipery.
They actually pulled back on the junipers and put in more botanicals. And then we got to try their Brutality.
Mm-hmm.
Which, such a great name. Brutality.
Man, Brutality was... And the best bit was that this was the Brutality that was fermenting or distilling or whatever you want to call it. Whatever it was doing it for 2 months. And then you've got the...
I think it was probably beating up other alcohols.
So this one Brutality we tried had been beating people up for 2 months. This one had only been beating people up for 2 weeks.
Right. And this is, by the way, listeners, the special treatment that you get when you go to one of these places with T-Mark. When he's been there before, they're like, oh, yeah, we remember you. You want to see this thing and have like eight free drinks?
On top of I want to say...
It is only 10 minutes down the road from us. So,
that was the biggest party we've ever brought. And the best bit was that every time we got friends coming in from out of town, they're like, I want to take me to this place called Malarkey's. So we took Scribe there. We took KO, my pledge mom. We took her there. And then we took you guys. So I brought them 6 clients. I don't know if that makes me special or not. They were like, oh, hey, good to see you again. You know,
he's good people.
Yeah, they're good people. Anyway, so.
Did you do the tour?
No, we did not do the tour.
But you could see the flute.
Right.
But
we needed a reason to go back, obviously.
Obviously, but we're not actually here to talk about booze.
Sorry, we're not here about because booze...
We're not going to talk about booze.
Although imagination and divine justice are great things for writers to have.
And sincerity.
And sincerity. And
they're very mixable. Yeah. I was impressed with how mixable they were, and they were very, very, like, you can mix them into many different cocktails.
Mm. Yep, absolutely. And so anyway, we're not here, though, to talk about... to talk about booze.
I mean, although it may seem like that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, finish your tweet. That's fine. Just give us a second.
Yeah, can we get on the topic? The topic is, of course, new collaborations, and we get to laugh at you two because you fell into the trap. What are you two?
It's a trap. It's a trap.
That should be my next drop.
Oh, no.
It's a trap.
Matthew, he's outed us.
let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. What are you two kooky kids up to right now?
Well, we're living in Arizona.
Oh, come on.
Laddie, don't you think you should rephrase that?
You are living in Arizona.
We're
what
residing
are you
in the horrible, terrible burning desert.
Inappropriate.
I don't care. I have no pity for you whatsoever. You moved away from us into the hot, hot oven of Satan's kitchen, which is Arizona. So I'm going to give you one more chance. What are you two kooky kids up to?
Piper?
You would not want to be staring like that at me.
Doesn't make for good audio. Fine, we'll talk about what they're doing.
Oh,
they're
no.
collaborating.
Here
honey.
We go.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of collaborators.
No. I will say that you have outed us. It's the first time we've really talked about it publicly, and so I think she was waiting on me to talk about it, but really,
yes.
I feel like letting the more experienced author take the lead. So go ahead, Piper.
So
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
What the hell with the drop-ins?
He's going to keep punching them until you say something. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
So here we go. We've got 2 proposals that we are working on together as a collaborative pair. We have a sci-fi proposal and story idea, and then we also have a fantasy. This weekend, though, we have been pretty inspired on the fantasy proposal.
Oh,
now,
cool.
That's great.
We've been having fun with maps because I found a new map app.
Uh-huh.
And what was the name of that map, and where can you find it again? Or as Starla Hutchton call it, the rabbit hole that she fell down in.
Yeah, that was my fault, but we're going to have to put it in the shows because I don't remember.
But you remember the name of it, right?
No.
It's a free map generation.
She's just
thing.
Been using it every day 2 times a day.
I got it bookmarked,
awesome.
My friend.
Wait, here's the name of it. Yeah, great. Awesome. Okay, yeah. you were saying?
Look in the shorts.
It'll be in the shorts. But the thing about that particular map app is that it's super easy. You can go by grid format or hex format to be able to start building your continent or your continents, depending on how you want to build this.
Right, and so we had the discussion of what is this going to be? Are we going to do fantasy? Are we going to do high fantasy? And then she was like, well, you know, people debate on the question. And then I said, okay, fine. Are we going to have a map on the inside cover?
That is pretty much it.
And my response was yes.
Okay.
Therefore, it's that kind of fantasy. You need
a
map.
Okay. It's going to be a bug killer.
Right. So we have that one, which is potentially going to be a 3 or 4 book arc that we've already considered. And then the other one, the sci-fi, is going to follow more or less just a smaller group of 2 people that would potentially be a standalone, but could also become a series.
With supporting characters. Sidekicks, so shenanigans.
So you guys are more or less looking at collaborating on four books together.
Well, I mean, it all depends on which one gets picked up. Like, we are committed to doing the first three chapters of both of these, mm-hmm. and then which we get, not picked up, but which we get the more positive response from.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!
That is one version of positive.
Yeah. New collaborators. Oh, wow. What comes to mind when I'm looking at you two going in and doing collaborating by yourselves? Jeez.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
That's the person that comes to mind.
Oh, bougie, bougie, bougie.
Yeah.
Has your entire world gone sideways? Oh.
Let me tell you a story about collaboration. Okay, so... And
first,
now I'm getting side-eyed.
But first, T-Morris, yeah. Turn around and look at the whiteboard and tell me that I didn't tell you that the Silver Pharaoh was coming out on September 30th.
Look
at it.
And why don't you look at me?
Look
why
at
don't
it.
Why don't you look at me and
he
tell
hasn't
me
turned around
that
yet.
The Silver Pharaoh
it's on the
was
whiteboard.
Supposed to be your project?
Oh, well, my God, I am surrounded by idiots.
You really don't want
to... Well, that was my mistake.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
All right, but I think people might be confused. Have you already talked about this on the most recent one? Because I haven't listened to the one that's going out.
So here's the
here's
intricate
the
story.
Story.
Sit back, kids. originally, Pip wanted to do the Curse of the Silver Pharaoh as her solo project.
Because I wanted you to do other things.
Right. Yeah, yeah. My own solo project for one. You know, get the ball rolling on Endgame, which we have. Maybe even get a few words in on Countless Hues of Crimson. Ridiculous.
Oh, that's just going to come out. You know it's coming out.
Whoa.
Hey, phrase it.
Yeah, I was like, there it is.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's just going to fall out. I'm sorry.
Hey, phrase it.
And then go back in someplace else. What?
Hey, phrase it.
I'm going to wear out this drop-in if we keep going down this. Okay, hold on a minute.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
So you were saying.
And so she has the cover reveal, and when the cover reveal came out, I saw my name on the cover. I'm
no,
like,
that is not
what?
How it happened. That is a complete lie.
Oh, really?
It's a way
I said,
to tell
shall I put your name on it? Yeah. And you went, yeah.
I didn't. Oh, really?
Oh, we got
you're
some
welcome.
Peeking.
Shut up.
I don't believe. Yeah. Okay.
There's a desk between
that's
them, friends.
That's
there's
exactly
a desk.
What happened. That is exactly what happened. She came up to me and said, hey, do you want your name on it? I went, yeah, sure. You know why?
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it.
America.
And it's worked out pretty well so far.
Committing to things we can't finish. That is what America is all about.
No.
What, too soon?
Oh,
too soon, military boy? Too soon? Anyway, yeah. Sorry,
so now
I'm playing this on myself.
Stay on target.
Yes.
Stay on target.
Now.
All right. So basically I saw the cover and I think we broke Piper.
I'm just going to point out, target-wise, there is still a date that was communicated on the whiteboard behind you.
I know.
Under
I know.
Pip's name.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was that this book, when I saw the cover, yeah, girl power. When I saw the book cover, my name was on it, and I remember it as you want my name on the cover, and in that typical passive aggressive way, as New Zealand does, she said, "Do you want your name on the cover?" And I said, "If you want my input here and there, that's great." Suddenly, my input from here and there became, "See, I need you to zhuzh it up," and this is when a source of tension happened between the book. Now, that being said, I am having a freaking blast writing The Curse of the Silver Pharaoh, as you two can attest.
It's the only way you can actually legally torture children.
We haven't exactly
that could be the blurb for it, actually.
Oh, jeez.
We haven't exactly had gentle suggestions for him either, so.
Yeah.
This is not a good sign.
Anyway,
we're bad
people. I will agree with that, though. Like, sometimes when we come visit, it's just no work is accomplished. But
this weekend,
you two have been working.
It's
been
really hard. Balls on, yeah. And like I said, and you guys have helped me in a fantastic way. I was like, oh, crap, I have this situation where I have to put a lid on this better than they do at Hogwarts, but I need to make it in that sort of darky steampunk way. And you two knocked it out of the park. And I'm sitting here thinking, the collaboration you guys are up to is a good thing.
We're evil people.
Do you want your names on the cover? Let's put everybody's name on the cover.
Evil people. We'll settle for acknowledgement.
Okay, acknowledgement.
There we go. That's good.
No.
Alright, so anyway, So Pip, let's start with you. What would be the advice that you would give to these young fledgling collaborators?
Know how to argue, and not kill each other, and not like, hold a grudge because, you know.
Actually, the not killing each other is relatively difficult considering the two of our skill levels.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this thing that both of us do before we get to the point of maybe doing bodily harm where we leave.
Yes.
Like, just, like, walk out the door. Just gone.
That's a
just
good idea.
Don't know what happened to her. Okay, well, I screwed up.
Generally speaking, we tend to find a boxing bag, yeah. like a heavy bag, and we have it out on the heavy bag. And then we come back.
Yeah, and T, you were telling me that both you and Pip were perhaps much more effective collaborators when you lived apart because you were working 24/7.
That is true. That is true. One of the things that we noticed when we were writing the first two books, which would be Phoenix Rising and The Janus Affair, both available on Amazon.com, where you will find T. Morris and Pip Ballantyne, Amazon.com bestsellers.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yep, yep, yep. Here we go. Oh, wait, no.
We'll post a picture in the show.
Hell yeah. So anyway.
We'll post the picture of that.
Yes, we are. So when we were writing Phoenix Rising and The Janus Affair, Pip was still in... No, actually, it was just Phoenix Rising. You were in country by the time The Janus Affair was out.
Yes, so New Zealand was,
And writing-wise, it was perfect.
I like that American centrism. You were in country.
Yeah, in country.
Yeah, you weren't outside of country.
What country?
You were. She was out of hemisphere. Are you kidding?
Yes.
So anyway.
Deep south.
We literally had 24 hours of writing because I would write, Pip would sleep, then Pip would get up, she would write, I would sleep. It was great. The problem came in editing.
Yeah, because, editing was a lot harder.
Because we had what were called the two magic hours, where I would be just awake getting ready to go to work, and you would be getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
We had 1 hour to cram everything
in. 1 hour
in
the morning, 1 hour in the evening.
Yep.
And then it was, So it made the editing a lot harder.
Then when you got here, writing was really hard because we were both up at the same time. We lost that time of sleep. But editing was perfect because instead of waiting for that magic hour and taking notes for that magic hour, I could just walk into the next room and go, "Hey, Pip,
what the hell did you mean by that?"
Yeah. I found that really interesting to hear from you guys because I've been kind of Twitter stalking two authors that I really find awesome: Rachel Kane and Anna Geary. Now, the two of them are collaborating together, and recently Anna Geary went to China. You'd see on Twitter how Rachel would be like, "Yep, finished a scene, waiting for Anne to wake up in China." And then Anne comes up on Twitter and goes, "Yep, Rachel's going to be happy when she wakes up, people. I just finished the book." And I had such a great time, like, just following them on Twitter.
It's super efficient.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a super efficient way of doing it.
That's when social media actually works for you, because with social media, with Skype, with Twitter, you're able to send out little things like that. You can do DMs of notes, and it did make things a lot easier for the first book. And the second book we had mostly done after Phoenix Rising was complete, but that's been just coordinating the times of when to work on what. You know, you in the file? No, I'm not. Are you in the file? No, I'm not.
Yeah, we've had a couple of times where we've accidentally overwritten stuff as well.
Yeah, that was
yeah, we decided to take a slightly different approach. Mm. I put us into Google Drive to work on Google Documents for component-based authoring because it can support real-time collaborative writing in
the
same file.
It's the one thing I wish Scrivener did, and if it does it and we don't know how it's done, then
please let us know.
From a day job perspective, there's a lot of content management systems that have been requested to do that same behavior.
Evernote
co-browsing in that type of secure environment just doesn't happen too often.
That's true.
Part of why Google Docs has worked so well is because it's one of the few products where you can co-browse, is the term.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Well, as we're working in the Silver Pharaoh, I'm actually mostly on Scrivener and you're working on Word. So
and then when I'm done, she'll take what I'm working
and I'll just slap it in there.
Slap it in there, bing boom, and we're done. So that'll be the first thing is knowing what to do when your co-author says,
"You shall not pass."
Get them drunk on vodka until they agree.
There we go. Good vodka, thank you. Good vodka.
Yeah, not cheap vodka.
I do have a question for you guys.
Okay.
Okay, so again, I was tweeting at Anne and Rachel,
right.
Anna Geary, Rachel Kane, and I asked them what they loved about collaborative authoring, and they did mention that it's kind of amazing when you get into a groove together, and then sometimes you get to that scene that just jacks you up, like you stop, you can't make any progress on the scene, and then they both said that you can tag out and let the other one take a shot at that scene or that action moment.
Oh man.
and it's really nice because you don't get stuck quite as much. Does that, do you find that happens
it's sort of
for
like,
you guys?
It's sort of like you've got two brains. So if one brain goes and seizes up, you can pass it off. Also, it's if you can chat with that person, sometimes just spitballing about what could happen in there kickstarts your own brain again. So.
With like for Operation Endgame, we're flushing out some of the things in Operation Endgame.
You mean behind you on that whiteboard that you haven't looked at?
I refuse to look at it. Hey, all right, you want me to look at the wall? Let me look at the wall. Oh, look, I see up there something for Matt.
No, you don't.
No.
We took
it
down.
No.
Oh, that's right.
It's
we
gone.
Take it down, didn't we? I'll bring it up later. Don't worry.
He's seeing dead things. It's
I'm
gone.
I'm seeing dead things, yeah. But the
best thing about deadlines is you can change them when you're an indie
author. Exactly. Because we did erase Matt's original like deadline from 2 months ago, mainly because...
Oh, jeez. Okay. All right. Well, you just want to get into it. All right. Go ahead. Under the bus.
That's right. Because you had just moved.
Yeah.
And that's why we were giving you a Hail Mary.
You were driving
across
the country.
Really thought that I was going to have it mostly done. And then I was going to arrive and set up my computer at the new desk and like put the finishing, polishing touches on it.
You're so darling. You're so darling.
Because I've got all these hours in the car, so I'll just really be
so,
thinking about
so
it. And I'll be in this
darling.
Great space to just like tie it all together. And
no. Oh, yeah. No. Oh, oh, no. Yeah. No.
Oh, oh,
no.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
No, John. No.
I'll drive.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty much the way it went. So yeah, but no, we what we've been doing is we've been talking about the different ideas, not just fleshing out Operation Endgame, but also some things with Silver Pharaoh. When it comes to fight sequences, Pip usually hands me the book and
I'm just like, okay, she needs to be there, he needs to be there, this needs to happen. Now
go
fill it in,
make it happen. And right now what's happening too is that Pip's got she's got these wonderful set pieces in the Silver Pharaoh, but I'm being told about class and I'm like, no, I want to be in class. I want to hear what the teacher has to say about class. And one scene in particular, it's a little homage to Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's a scene with this dashing, professor. And Verity is sitting back going, why are all the girls sitting up front? and she actually says that, why are all the girls up front? Then in walks the professor, and she goes, oh, that's why. And then on top...
Hey, now.
I went to an all-girls school. I know how it goes. There's then always one teacher that you're like...
And then on top of that, and Pip hasn't read this, on top of that, we've got... so you know in the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences series, found at ministrypeculiarcurrences.com, you will hear about Hamish McTeague.
Yes.
Hamish McTeague, this eccentric...
crazy inventor dude.
Well, Hamish McTeague is actually, he actually has a niece, Julia McTeague. And Julia just kind of stumbles into class and she goes, ah, I didn't mean any disrespect to you, professor. And Verity is sitting there going, amazing, she's immune. And because she's a McTeague, she is. And that type of stuff is great because Pip sets it up and I just knock it a little further. And that's part of the fun we have when we collaborate. But what Pip excels at is setting the scene. Pip excels at setting the scene. Pip excels at getting into the character's head. Pip excels at that.
Keep going.
I'm the guy.
I was like, yes, keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah, yes, okay. That sounds lovely.
Yes, honey.
You're welcome. Shut up.
And so.
Well, as long as you're getting brownie points, let me get a couple in as well. It's very nice how when I'm having a discussion with Piper and we're having this great spitball session where I'm just throwing ideas off the wall and she's literally like batting some of them down kind of nicely, just like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then some of them she's like, oh yeah, that's great. And then I go, okay, we should probably write this down. And she's like, I already did.
Yeah, yeah. That was very early
this
on.
This is why you never argue with me when I have a laptop with me.
Right.
Just
she's
talking.
Subscribing it all.
Just keep
talking.
And
that's the thing is that Pip and I, we lost a couple of ideas like around book two or book three. You know, book three, Dawn's Early Light, number one bestseller on Amazon. And
we just should have like a necklace made of that.
Pretty much. Around.
Yep.
Pretty much. Anyway, so... So we started writing down all of our ideas, or we would put them in the phone or something along those lines. But yeah, I do agree. The spitballing sessions are some of the best times when you collaborate, especially when you wonder, is this a good idea? Because I pitched an idea about Operation Endgame, what Bruce and Brandon were up to, and Pip just looked at me and went, ew! And I went, so you don't like it? No, I love it! ew, ew. So we're keeping that for Endgame, and we're just, you know, that's the thing too, is just watching the idea start to snowball. And you hear it a lot. You hear people say, well, you know, being a writer is a very solitary thing. And a lot of times it is. But when your significant other is mildly into writing, as Matt once was, but then when you get into it with the significant other and you're just kicking ideas back and forth and back and forth, I think that's part of where the magic happens, that and editing.
Mm-hmm. It's like agree. A contagion, you know, when you're exposed to it enough over time.
You were fated to get it.
Although, I would say you should reach out to Matthew's mother.
Oh, God, no.
Because one of the first things she did when she met me was tell me about this wondrous paper that he wrote in fifth grade. Now,
she still has it, right?
Yes. Better.
Yeah, she's got it
so
in
we
a binder.
We went to a wedding back in the Phoenix area, just so happened. And it just so happened that this was a wedding that there are all these people there that have seen our Matthew grow up.
Oh, dear.
So I was in.
Okay, all right. I came from a small community. The people that were, the guy who was getting married, his mom was a teacher. So, of course, there were a bunch of teachers from my school that were there.
I met his fifth grade teacher. She told me about the paper.
This is so darling.
Ugh.
It really is. It is.
It was amazing.
No. Thank you so much for this, darling.
Matthew is turning an interesting shade of red.
But again,
but
this goes back to communication. This goes back to communication. How important it is to communicate with your collaborator on exactly what it is you're up to. Now, here's another bit of advice I would also give.
Ooh.
Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. And this is something I have.
Do not be afraid of her. Yeah, no, maybe.
Well,
maybe
remain a certain amount afraid.
There is a certain amount of fear. But don't be afraid to give criticism when it is needed. There have been several times during the Curse of the Silver Pharaoh that I've brought some issues before Pip. And the look she gives me is something along this line.
But first, I must deal with treason within the ranks. The two renegades who voted against the bill. I have zero tolerance for betrayal, which they will soon indelibly learn.
I sleep with one eye open. I sleep with one eye open. I mean, Frank and Claire Underwood got nothing on the Ballantine. I'm just saying. But then I just hate saying,
you're right.
Dear listeners.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah! Hell yeah. But it's only one of the few times I am right. And
no, what I tend to say is, yeah, I know that's right.
Yeah,
I know that's kind of the way
she skirts around it, and I go,
I was waiting for you to find that.
Of course.
Yes,
now
that
you
was
resemble
a test.
Your cat.
You have passed the test.
You have passed the test.
You're like, yes, human, of course.
Oh, my God, I'm surrounded by idiots.
God.
Yes,
anyway,
that's pretty much me.
But that's what she's thinking. Anyway.
So I have a question, though, if that's all right.
All right, go right ahead.
We are just embarking on our kind of shared experience as authors. And so for us, we kind of have a good groundwork for at least the first year or two. We've seen enough people do it. Some people, I don't know, do it kind of well and become bestsellers. I don't know.
Oh, like number one bestseller in Amazon?
Yeah, exactly.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay, continue.
Uh-huh. So, but after you've been doing that for a while, what is it that keeps you continuing to do it? I mean, because you've experienced...
Good sex scenes.
Well, you've experienced some difficulties along the way. You've experienced a lot, and like we've talked about that, and you've talked about it on the podcast, so I don't want to go into that specifically, what has kept you from going, you know what, let's just do our own projects?
I still love the world. I really love the world we created, and if that's why, T. Morris, I said, do you want your name on the cover of it? Because I didn't want to take any portion of that world for myself and not include him. That's why. Don't you feel like a dick now?
actually, whenever...
He's speechless, my friend. Speechless.
I'm trying to figure out the nicest way. Whenever it comes to my wife and The way she expresses herself, this usually pops into my head.
I'm known to be quite vexing. I'm just forewarning you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, it's really...
It's also, that is the height of passive aggressiveness. See,
yeah, yeah.
You can't come back at me because it's a sweet thing that I actually passively aggressively landed on you.
So we're good, right?
Yeah, we're pretty good. honestly, it's the same thing. I mean,
so they say in marriage you have those like 3-year and 5-year and 7-year doldrums. So what keeps you going in that partnership of writing?
Well, no, we actually have been trying to develop a property that has changed from being an epic fantasy to a space opera, and we haven't necessarily abandoned that. But the thing is, we find these new avenues within the ministry, and also we did not expect the success of the ministry Kickstarter. We really didn't expect that success. And when
silly authors are silly.
Uh-huh. Silly authors are silly. We were also, you know, coming at from the point of view of, okay, well, we're, you know, once we're done with Operation Endgame, we're done with Operation It. We're done with Operation. We're gonna move away from the ministry. Then Pip's like, well, I really want to do this Silver Pharaoh thing. And now the Silver Pharaoh is starting to gain teeth.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how it is received. I was honestly hoping we would get it out, or get it done and run it by the Boom, because I wanted to get her opinion on it. But even then, I'm enjoying the and we had this discussion. No, wait, which one of us had this discussion? So many of us, so many discussions in this
because
house.
Matthew and I look so alike.
Yeah, exactly.
That happens when you collaborate.
Exactly. You start to look like one another. You start to sound like one another. It's a pretty
which
scary thing.
Which one of the Drakes did I tell?
I spoke with the Drake conglomerate.
There you go.
The Drake conglomerate.
It was when we were talking. God. We were talking about the reviews, and we were talking about the review that you got, where it was, you know, I liked everything but the suspense, and it's romantic suspense. Where,
yes.
And it reminded me of when we got reviews for Dawn's Early Light, number one Amazon bestseller. Did you happen to know that? Yeah, here we go.
Can I get a hell yeah?
It just came out.
That's not like that's fascinating. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Did you know in role-playing I can embiggen to over for 13 feet?
I'm confused.
And for that reference, you're going to have to listen to the Geek Wolfpack podcast.
Yes, we'll put that in the show notes.
We'll put that in the show notes where she embiggens. So anyway, it was the same thing in that episode. In that novel, there were people that hated the romantic tension between Books and Braun. Just, you know, go on ahead and deal with it. Why go back and forth? And there were just as many reviews that came back and said, "Oh, we love that." And the point I was making is completely lost on me.
I was just about to say,
I'm going to make a point on that, though, because you bring up a good point, is that when it comes down to it, and you get reviews where some people are wildly for an element or set of elements in your story, and some people are like, why is that even in there? Get it out. They feel strongly about it. So even if it's divisive,
mm-hmm.
you're instilling a strong reaction in your readers. So I'll still take that.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll draw that back into the question that I was asking is, even when you get those kind of frustrating reviews, and some of them are good, but some of them are bad, and we all know that we focus more on the negative. I don't even have anything published yet, and I know that that's coming.
It's coming.
So, like, you together have to experience that, and then one of you might look at the other through the corner of your eye and go, that was his scene. That was her scene.
Honestly, I forget who wrote certain scenes.
Whenever people shout out really good scenes, I take credit. But as far as that is concerned,
I call that role.
I don't take the reviews as personally as Pip sometimes does. However, wait. I'm backing it up.
What?
I'm backing
Danger.
It up.
Danger.
I take personally the audiobook reviews when people go, oh, I find it so distracting, you know, hopping back and forth between author and author. They should just hire James Langton, blah, 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 blah. And my thought is, hey, look, we busted our humps to make this, and we sound damn
good.
Well,
the funny thing is that when we started doing the audiobooks, people were like, why aren't Pip and T reading it?
Yeah, exactly.
And now you're finally reading it, and they're like, why isn't James reading it?
People don't like change. You can't get a haircut. How dare you?
I got four words for you, everyone. Who moved my cheese?
I don't know, because cheese.
You know, it's one of those things where we and that's the other great thing about a collaboration is that we work as a support team between each other.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about it before,
writing is generally a solo thing. And so you're carrying all those frustrations. You're carrying all those, you know, oh, this sucks. As you're writing it, or you're carrying all the, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to get my edits done in time. And it's nice to have somebody else that you can just turn to and say, oh my God, what were we trying to do in this scene? What? I don't understand. And it's sort of, when you get to a certain level, it's just like somebody, it's part of your own brain.
Yeah.
Reflecting back at you, which is really weird.
It is nice to have that. I mean, oftentimes I'll be going, this isn't working, and then I hear this voice from across the way.
Don't be defeatist, Dad. It's very middle class.
And so I have to kind of pull it together. It's a great experience.
You broke him. Do it again.
Oh, I'm sorry, bro. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry.
We have the Dowager Duchess living with us.
Yeah, rarely we do. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I just was imagining the Mary in the Great British Baking Show.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yep.
Okay, yes. That is a story for another time. A story for another time. Yeah, it's that time when you're asking...
What's in the box?
Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations.
Time for a Loot Crate looky-loo on the shared desk.
What's in the fucking box?
You want to see it open as well as I.
Yes, we all want to know, because these boxes have been sitting in our house for way too long. And we are once again joined by our special guest...
I'm Sonic Boom.
Cheers, love! The cavalry's here.
I think that's appropriate. Cavalry's, yes.
The cavalry is here.
Our cavalry is here. So,
yeah.
Okay, now this particular month for us, our theme is what?
I have no idea.
You are as bad as the child over here.
No, it's I'm just joking. It's speed.
There you go. Speed. Yes, speed.
You're welcome. Shut up.
And for you, do you remember your theme? Because I told you today.
Battlefield.
Okay, so we got Battlefield. Yes, we got Battlefield for Loot Gaming. We've got Speed for Loot Crate. Let's open it up.
Just together or at the same time?
Yeah, we're going to open it up at the same time. Oh. And what we'll do is we will also try to do the item. Like, we'll both do the T-shirt at the same time. And
okay.
Like
so
no, it's no, it's like the Battlefield music.
Well, unfortunately, all I've really got for Battlefield is this.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it.
Amen.
And it's worked out pretty well so far.
Okay.
Okay, so, Serena?
So we're good, right?
Great. Now let's go on ahead and let's open up your box.
Open up the box.
Open up the loot crate and pull out your T-shirt
first. I only got a T-shirt.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well then, oh!
What happened?
I guess we're still waiting on her loot crate, but that's your free... No. That's okay. Oh. That's why it was so light and so small. That's your loot crate T-shirt.
We need to check out what's happened. That was caught on... Oh, so you got your own loot crate shirt.
She's got her own loot crate.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
You'll be able to fight Dad. I don't know if you'll fit into this.
Oh, wow.
Are you sure this is Speed?
Yeah.
Stark?
Stark Motor Racing. Don't you remember Iron Man 2? Iron Man 2.
Okay, Stark.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's great.
The inside
I like
of
that.
The box is, do you know, tell me, Sonic Boom, what do you recognize what that is?
Oh, that's funny.
What do you think it's from?
Lola.
Yeah, it's Lola from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
on the
nice.
Inside. There's something here. Tell us what that is there.
Yeah, I mean, you're opening with us anyway, so might as well just go on ahead and join in on what it is.
Cool.
What is it? What is it?
It's a Batman keychain.
Oh, gosh. Who's going to get that one?
Nice.
Yeah, you might as well hand it to him.
Let me take a look at that. Batman keychain. Oh, ho. It's not just Batman keychain. It's like the classic Batman Batwing keychain.
Oh, Batarang. So here's one, Sonic Boom. This is from what we would call not our fandom, but it's cool. It's Eleanor from the Gone in 60 Seconds collectible. It's a Loot Crate exclusive. Here, you have a look at that in person.
If I remember correctly, in Gone in 60 Seconds, that was the golden unicorn for him. That was the one that that you couldn't. He could never boost properly.
Oh.
Okay, this is interesting.
Yeah,
this is hoodies. These are hood ornaments for cars. And guess who this one is?
Is that the Scarlet Speedster himself?
That is the Scarlet Speedster himself, the Flash. And apparently,
nice.
Also you can get an Arrow. Arrow one.
That's cool.
Now, I'm not sure if that will fit on our vault, but you can give it a go and see. It says it's magnetized
My only problem with putting this on our car is that if it's magnetized, it basically means that anybody could help themselves to.
Yeah, then they could have your Scarlet Speedster.
Yeah,
that would be big.
That is kind of cool, though.
Now here's another. Well, this is not your fandom, Sonic Boom, because I don't think you remember it because it was before you were born. Battlestar Galactica.
Oh my gosh!
So this is.
I think I've tried to play it at MAGFest.
Oh, maybe? They probably did have a game. Cylon Raiders. There you go. That's probably... Ooh. I think your dad's probably going to want that for his...
That is quite cool. It's kind of like one of the vinyl figures, like a Funko Pop.
And then I'll let you have a look at the badge, because you're all about the badges. We've got to get a...
I can barely reach.
So what's the pin?
I have no loot box, which is sad.
Yes, that is sad. We're going to have to investigate that because you didn't get anything for September.
No, it's on the way. I thought that was it, It's on the way.
But isn't it supposed to arrive in the month that it's supposed to be delivered in?
I tell you what we'll do. I'll go on ahead and I'll check with Loot Crate, find out if we can either get the mailing changed or what. But yeah, right now it seems like it's running behind. So the Loot Crate pin, it's actually quite cool. It's a tire. Oh, it's a tire burning rubber. It's a tire burning rubber. It looks very cool.
So there's some cool speedy things in here because Batman's speedy and apparently gone in 60 seconds. I thought it was Fast and the Furious, but it's gone in 60 seconds. So
I also thought for some reason, like a part of me was like, well, what about Back to the Future?
Back
to the Future would be great. Back to the Future would be a good one. I think another good one would have been Star Trek because of this, you know, or even the Millennium Falcon, Speed of Light kind of thing.
Quicksilver could have been in there
from X-Men. Yeah.
So
and also Age of Ultron maybe.
Mm, yeah. Oh yes, he was there as well.
So I pulled out the keychain, and the keychain is actually quite cool.
Okay.
It's the classic Batwing, not the one that we saw in Batman versus Superman, but in the Tim Burton Batman, which we really need to get you caught up on the older superhero movies. Yeah. Like,
there are some bad ones, but there's some good ones as well.
Yeah, we'll stop after Batman Returns.
So out of this loop,
I would say, you know what? Hang that on your bag. I think that would look good on your bag. No. you just gave me a face. What's wrong with the Batwing?
I don't know.
It's not her fandom.
Not her thing. Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Well, so what's going in the going on our box, because we're constantly building up our box.
This is not.
Yeah, sorry. The
Batwing stays. The Cylon Raider stays. This actually is a pretty good one. It was better than I expected. I love the t-shirt. I absolutely love the t-shirt. Yeah, you know, I didn't think Gone. Yes.
Oh.
Really, Eleanor? Okay.
Well, it's a nice looking little car. Actually, it's a good looking little car.
It's a nice muscle car. It's a nice. Oh my god. Are you becoming a car geek? Do you dig like the muscle cars?
Well, in some ways, yes, and also.
Oh dear.
paging Dr. White. Paging Dr. Alex White. We need to get Mr. Alex to get you hooked on to Formula One racing. I could see you digging racing. If you're getting into muscle cars like that, dig that.
Oh yeah, he does the NASCAR stuff and with those like sort of like rocket nose.
Well,
cars.
Yes.
I've sort of seen some of those.
Formula One is a very different kind of racing.
My grandfather used to love watching Formula One. So we're keeping everything from this crate, are we?
I guess we are keeping everything. Okay, now this hood ornament,
it's
plastic.
It's plastic, so that's not going to weather very well,
and
is it?
It's lightweight though. I have to wonder because I'm trying to think.
You could put it on your your office.
Put it in the office.
Does it stand up like by itself? Oh yeah. I wouldn't put it on my car though because I think going along.
I would actually put it on the side of my office, on the side of my cabinet like this, so it looks like he's running up the building. Because remember, we should actually have you watch that on Netflix, the Flash TV show.
Yeah, because it's got two seasons on there now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Speaking of the cards, when I was like, remember my birthday party when I was like 3 in Man vs. Child?
And the only reason you remember that is because of Man vs. Child, which you can find online at on YouTube.
No, it's 3.
What?
No, it's three.
You were turning three. You were two, turning three. And if I remember correctly, yeah, because Cars was the theme. And I think everybody, a lot of the people that were there at that birthday party are going to be at this coming birthday party.
Well, that's the kind of friends you want.
We've gone from the scavenger hunt of Cars to laser tag. I think that's good.
That sounds pretty good.
You mean Shadowlands?
Shadowlands. Yes. So, okay, you know what? If you want to hang on to Eleanor, go ahead and hang on to Eleanor.
And we will find out where your loot crate has gone, because I'm a bit upset about it not being here for September.
Yeah, at first
I'm upset
too. Well, I'm sure
I want
upset.
To see my loot crate.
Well, the thing is though, you got your loot crate looter shirt, so you're
all
set.
Yeah, that's true.
You got something.
Yeah, that's
and a car.
Yeah, and a car. So there you go. And then we will go on ahead and we'll try to get our loot crates all synced up. Yeah. But not a bad haul. We'll just have to figure out what to do with the speedster here. Really, really need to get caught up on season two.
And also, speaking of that, we need to catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Really? She's telling us that.
As I said, and so it begins. And through the magic of time shifting, we are back about a month later. It's nice to have shows in the hopper, though, that we can just dip in and go to and all that stuff.
It helps us out.
So, Real quick update about the Boom's crate. I contacted Loot Crate. Turns out they can't sync up any kind of thing.
No, it's. I mean, they're probably a smallish outfit that's not going to be able to do all the crates at
right,
once.
Right. Right.
So that makes sense.
So I
get
it.
Apologize, Loot Crate, for making you sound crappy.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Shut up.
But we did have a great show with Peach and Matt, and it's always nice to have our Loot Crate looky loos with the Boom. But we're wrapping up this show with some announcements.
Yeah.
We have a busy couple of weeks.
Oh, don't we always?
Yeah. So where are we going to be? The 14th to the 16th of October.
Well, we're going to be at one of our favorite events.
This is so exciting.
Steampunk Unlimited.
That's right.
In beautiful Strasburg, Pennsylvania.
Strasburg, PA. It's the Strasburg Railroad Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just going to be some terrific artists, some terrific musicians.
It's all things steampunk. I mean, Abney Park's going to be there this year. There's just steam trains. There's events. There's absinthe tastings. There's murder mysteries on the train.
I mean, it's
escape room on the train this
year. Yeah, it's a great experience. And there's an extra level to it, because you got people walking around in steampunk gear and you've got giant steam trains around them.
It is fantastic for a photographic opportunity.
Yes, it really is. Now,
unless you're stuck behind a table. But we love being stuck behind a table because we meet new people.
That's right. Now, the good news is that we are going to have, this is where we launched last year, if you recall. This is where we launched the Ghost Rebellion's
Kickstarter. Yeah, it was happening. Yeah, we launched it.
We
in
launched
the hotel
it there.
Room.
No, we launched it there, and then we publicized it the next day.
That's right.
Through Facebook Lives, it was really cool. Well, I'll put the original Facebook Live in the show notes. But so the good news is that we are coming back to this festival with the Ghost Rebellion in tow.
Mm-hmm.
Now the bad news.
Yeah, due to the apparently some flooding in North Carolina.
Hurricane Matthew. Yeah,
Hurricane Matthew. It's affecting some delivery dates for CreateSpace, who we were hoping to have copies of both The Curse of the Silver Pharaoh and Magical Mechanications, which is our four novelettes of a steampunk fairy tale variety.
Yep.
We were hoping to have them, and we laid them out, and they're not going to be there.
No, and you also forgot, it's not The Curse of the Silver Pharaoh. It's Amazon bestseller, Curse of the Silver Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Welcome to level 7.
That's right.
We have to
talk about
that a little bit.
We're going to talk about that in the next show. We're gonna go into more detail in the next show.
Because we have talked about best-selling tags. And
yeah. Well, we did that throughout this show.
That's right.
So then on the 22nd of October, where are we going to be?
We're going to be at the Maryland...
No, go ahead. That's fine. The Maryland... We're going to be at the Maryland Renaissance Festival.
Yes. And we will then have copies of those two books there.
That's the plan.
But what we're going to do at Steampunk Unlimited is, if you really want a print copy, a signed print copy, we will have what they call an analog piece of paper where you will be able
we're
going to
take
down
pre-orders.
Yeah, basically,
we're going to take pre-orders.
Basically, you give us your...
We're trying to wrap the show up, baby. We're going to take pre-orders.
Well,
just come out and say
we
it.
We will take pre-orders for there those things and we'll get them out to you.
Now, we were talking, though, about the Maryland Renaissance Festival. Yes, the Maryland Renaissance Festival. And yes, we are going to be punked out. Story goes is that the fans of the Maryland Ren Faire are now getting organized. This is long before my time. They're getting organized, and they're actually going to organize certain dates for the fans to do wacky stuff. And the 22nd turns out to
be... trying to keep them
organized. Right. And so apparently the 22nd, because it's the last weekend of the Ren Faire, and because it's cooler, they're doing an unofficial steampunk day.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be there. This is my homecoming. I haven't been to the Maryland Ren Faire since your first visit to the States. 2007 was when we first...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
2007. And the last time we were there, we had two books. No, I'm sorry.
No, it was 2006.
It was 2007.
No, it was 2006.
You're right. It was 2006. You're right.
You heard
You're
it,
absolutely
folks.
Right. 2006, we had three books. You had Chasing the Bard. I had Moravi and Legacy of Moravi.
Ooh, three whole books.
So we had three
whole
books.
Now we're gonna have like five.
We're gonna have five ministry books. We're going to have. Six. We're gonna have at least eight books.
At least eight books. So that's
at least
not
eight
bad.
Books. Not bad. Enough,
not and that's
bad
not
time.
All of our books, but that's a fair chunk of them.
And but yeah, it's been 10 years since Pip's first visit to the Ren Faire. It has been 10 years since I've been there, and I'm looking forward to it. Nice little homecoming. That's on the 22nd of October. Then
our last event.
18th to the 20th of November. Where are we going to be?
We're going to be back at PhilCon.
PhilCon.
In beautiful Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Yes. Philadelphia Science Fiction.
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey. That's how close Cherry Hill.
Don't even. Yeah. It's, yeah.
The main reason we're going there is because...
CJ Cherry is, or Shira, however you want to say it, is going to be the guest of honor.
Pip's
going to
have a fangirl moment.
There could be
fangirling.
A 75% chance of
fangirling. There could be fangirling. So we've applied for a table, mm-hmm. and we're going to have our books there as well. If we get the table in there, we should. I haven't heard...
Yeah,
I haven't heard negative otherwise. So we're planning to have a table there. We're going to be doing panels, of course, but mainly it's because of CJ Cherry.
Yeah, she's I think on the West Coast. So any chance where she gets to come out east, I would like to meet her.
We're also probably going to be out there with Jared Axelrod and Jared Blackwell.
There'll be some other people that we'll like to catch up with.
I believe they got married today on the day of this recording. So happy anniversary, you two.
Yes, yeah.
Happy anniversary. Very nice. And finally, I want to make sure I point this out. Currently happening on Indiegogo, you'll find the link in the shows. We are doing we being me, Jim C. Hines, mm-hmm. and Chuck. Excuse me a second. There we go. And my boy Chuck Windig. Oh, I just said his name. I couldn't help it. Nope. Chuck.
I'm touching myself.
I'm sorry,
tonight.
Chuck.
Chuck Windig, Jim C. Hines, and myself. We are taking part of the Read for Pixels event, and this is a fundraiser. It is a fundraiser and an awareness event against domestic violence.
So, and it's a good cause.
It's a great cause. It's a great cause, and it is going to be high level shenanigans.
You
because,
three beardy dudes are going to be doing some strange female poses that women have been forced to do on covers.
Yeah. Right now, you could go to the link in the shows and not only make a donation to get us there. But you can also go on ahead and you can decide which cover you want.
I
you
like
want
Storm.
Us to do.
Please vote for Storm.
Here's the thing. Right now, Black Cat is in the lead.
I want Storm.
I want Storm too because
it's
that's
the
when
worst
I,
looking one to me.
It's
I,
also showing off the butt, and I got a great butt.
I don't know if Chuck or Jim necessarily want to do that.
I don't know if they do either. But you know, Black Cat also doesn't leave much to the imagination either.
No, that's true.
So you've got these three book covers. You can go to the Indiegogo link, and you can vote for which cover you want to see. And Jim recreate.
You might be
recreate.
Breaking your back.
I might be.
I want to point out there is one other Kickstarter that I didn't mention to you, but I really want to do because it includes a story from me.
Oh.
The folks who did Steampunk World are now doing a second volume called Steampunk Universe. If it gets funded, it will include my... I've been writing a lot of these kick-ass grannies lately.
Yeah, you have been.
A Maori granny in a steampunk zombie apocalypse, New Zealand. So if that gets funded, it'll be produced. And having seen what Steampunk World looks like, I am sure it's going to look fantastic. So include that in the show notes and go pledge.
All right. So you've got that. You've got the Read for Pixels 2016 Fall Edition. Currently, just so you know, at the time of this recording, we are just over $3,000. That's 62% of the $5,000 goal. If you go beyond that goal, there's going to be a bonus cover.
Oh, and my
And I've seen that cover, and I'm just going to tell you right now what that cover title is. It's called Cave Woman. It's called Cave Woman.
Be still my beating heart.
Leave your imagination at its wills. So there you go, just what's happening here. And thank you all again for listening to episode... which one is this?
60-something?
It is episode 65. That's right, episode 65. This is the problems with crowd shifting. You gotta keep checking the notes and all that stuff. But the one thing that I do know, I'm hitting the microphone now.
Don't do that.
I don't want to do that, but I do know that the shared desk is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license, and you can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. And until next time, thanks everybody again for listening. Enjoy the ride.
I'll catch you later.